When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And just a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, you may hear some baby grunting that... If any of you watch Stranger Things, it's just time for me to tell you that my baby did the voice of the Demogorgon in that show.
Yeah, this is definitely baby grunt. He's got some grunting things. I think it's he's so fat that maybe he can't breathe well. I'm not sure.
He's like,
well, you know, your sister Lindsay used to do this funny noise, and we just called her the alien.
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone's enjoyed my impressions of my baby grunting. We're like, excuse, you might hear, and then, yeah, anyway, all right.
Well, we'll see.
So today we're going to talk about pattern placement, and I think what has kind of sparked this for you, Mom?
Because I think there's been some things posted in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe,
our Facebook group,
uh-huh. Right? And people saying, you know, how do I do? Another thing is the mirror image thing gets people really confused.
You just skipped like your thought. Sometimes you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're like, things posted in the group.
Right, there's things posted in the group. And uh-huh. Some of them have been, you know, how do I match stripes or how do I match plaids or what do I have to do here? Or can I cut this on the fold? Do I have to cut this on the fold? And then the next thing that I've seen repeated in the last couple of weeks is I keep cutting just a left leg.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have three left legs. What's wrong? I can't cut a mirror image. And I think we can talk about exactly how you can do that and not screw up.
Okay, I do have to tell you. Well, let's talk about mirror images of pattern pieces when you're supposed to maybe cut two of a leg or something.
Well, I think the one thing that can be a pretty much hard and fast rule is if you have to cut two of something.
Yeah.
Correct. You either need to have right sides together or wrong sides together of your fabric.
That ideally, that would be the way to do
it. And then you would get if you're cutting two layers.
Right.
So if you're going to cut on two layers to get your two pieces, right? It's easy to think about because if you fold the fabric, it's going to be right sides together or wrong sides together.
Now, the only time that this can be, let me come in here because traditionally in fabric layouts or pattern layouts that you see in fabric, the selvages meet, right?
Yes.
Okay. And this is how pattern pieces are meant to be laid out oftentimes. And so if you put down a sleeve pattern and right or wrong sides are together, you're going to get a right sleeve and a left sleeve.
That's correct.
Okay, if you have done something like drafted yourself a pair of made-to-measure leggings, and you have a thigh measurement that's normally our biggest measurement that is wider than half the fabric,
yes,
you might not be able to go selvage to selvage and correct. Cut that at the same time.
That's correct.
So if you can't do that, you can fold the fabric still wrong sides together or right sides together, leaving the fabric full
lengthwise.
Width. Yes, lengthwise.
If you don't have a directional print or directional nap in that fabric.
That's right. So
you don't want the cars going upside down on one leg and right side up on the other leg.
So that's one way that you could avoid that. Or you need to, if you have to cut things out separately,
exactly.
Okay, then you got to choose what's getting flipped over. The pattern
right.
or the fabric.
Okay, and a way to do this is cut your one piece out with your pattern on it correctly, right? It doesn't matter which way your fabric is facing, actually, okay? It can be facing up where you've written on it or down or whatever. So place this pattern piece on your fabric. Cut it out. Then you can pin it in a couple places if you want.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go and take that pattern piece that still has that fabric sort of attached to it, say.
Yes, yes.
And place it on the fabric with the right side or the wrong side together with that still intact.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
And you will get the mirror image.
And you will have kept track of
what piece it is.
If it's the left or the right, and that's how our bodies work most of the time. When we have two body parts, like two arms or two legs, we have a left and a right, and
we tend to be somewhat symmetrical, but mirror imaged. You know, if you look at your hands, your thumbs are on the inside,
that's
and
right.
your pinkies are on the outside. It's not like your hands are not the same. They're mirror imaged.
And that happens.
I think
that
most
happens
people.
In the womb, right? The cells like fold, unfold, or
right.
Like,
it's the way
whatever.
It's formed,
yeah. Okay, well, that's not.
Terrible. Yeah, let's not get into like the blah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a really good point. That it's not always just as simple as hey, fold the fabric together, because there can be
right.
That issue. Nap and directional fabrics are a huge deal. You don't want. Like you said, the car's going
right.
upside down and right side up.
Or the corduroy, goes one way and looks one color and goes the other. Or, what's big right now, too, is crushed velvet. Now,
yeah.
Some crushed velvets don't truly have a nap because they're crushed.
Yeah, they're going all
So you have to check
ways.
That out. You have to pet it.
Yeah.
And pet it one way and pet it the other and see. Or sometimes it's a sideways thing that's going on, too.
I have some crushed velvet right now from L.A. Finn
She's
Fabrics.
All excited
I'm so excited.
About it.
I'm so excited.
So the safest way to go about this is
yes.
if you have to cut one layer at a time, whether this be because it's too wide, because you're trying to pattern match. What would be another reason, Mallory? You think you don't have enough fabric or I don't, whatever your reason is, and you think you have to cut out one layer at a time, cut it out with the pattern piece on it, keep it attached to that one layer, and then when you go to place it, you're going to have to do right sides together or wrong sides together.
So that can kind of answer the question that came up about how do I make sure I don't, once again, cut out another left leg.
Right.
And I have to tell you, this happened one time when I was teaching someone how to make ginger jeans. The ginger jeans pattern, it's recommended not only to cut out a left leg and a right leg, but to alternate the twill weave
direction. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, it
and
is.
And I had somebody just kept flipping, like rotating the pattern piece, but not flipping it over. And luckily they were a smaller person.
So we had enough fabric.
And I was like,
oh,
no.
But that's one reason, especially if you're not experienced at this and not sure of it, to keep it attached to the fabric.
Absolutely.
That you've already cut out.
And so if you want to, another technique, and this isn't particularly,
Is this a Mallory technique or something?
No, but something that I did tell people to do with ginger jeans, which can be helpful,
right.
but you do need to double check, is trace onto your fabric.
You can trace onto your fabric, absolutely.
You still can screw up like that.
Yeah, you still can.
Yeah, but you could trace everywhere and cut and blah, blah, blah.
Well,
okay.
You can cut your left leg out.
Yeah.
And you can trace on, and you can have your pattern piece not attached to it.
Yeah.
But then lay that that piece you have cut out, mm-hmm. you lay it onto the fabric, right sides or wrong sides together. Now, here's the risk in that, that you're going to stretch your fabric.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or
wiggle it out of shape or something. Uh-huh. You know, I don't worry about that so much anymore. I'm pretty good at handling fabric. You know, I could cut out one piece and flop it over, you know, and do it someplace else.
So when I am trying to not just pattern match, but let's talk about kind of a different type of pattern layout or pattern match. Let's pretend like I want both my sleeves to just look the same. Okay. On a plaid or something. Okay. Let me finish. Okay. Yes. Plaids can be directional. Okay. But if you want to cut out two pieces that look exactly the same and they're going to go on your body, I will cut out that sleeve from the plaid fabric. I will cut it on one layer. If it's to be cut on the fold, I'll trace it so that it can be one whole big pattern piece.
So wait.
I will cut it
out.
You
would trace it onto your fabric?
No, I would trace it onto tracing paper.
Thank you.
Okay. Trace it onto tracing paper. And then I will cut out the sleeve. And I do like to then use that sleeve as my pattern piece.
That's correct.
I will place it on the fabric until it, like, disappears.
Right.
Right?
Until placing the pattern that's on the fabric onto the pattern that's on the fabric.
That's right.
Now, it's possible that you can't do that.
That's correct.
If you have something that is an asymmetrical print.
That's right.
Okay? That you cannot make them match because they will only match if they're wrong side to right side because they don't repeat themselves.
That's right. And then it's important to remember that when I was talking about a pattern piece cut on the fold like that and that gets traced out and I said a sleeve, that would have been a sleeve that is a symmetrical sleeve. Not all sleeves are symmetrical.
Right.
Okay. So if you are cutting out that symmetrical, I guess I want to clarify this because I'm picturing like a knit t-shirt sleeve made out of like a plaid knit. Okay. Right. That I can do that. But if it is a mirror image, then, you know, I can't
It's a woven pattern, more than likely the back of your sleeve will have more room than the front of your sleeve because of the way your body moves.
Yes.
Because you have to have the ease in the back.
So let's take a message break and talk about when you can't match patterns after this. Mom, this podcast episode is brought to us by the So Long and So Happy edition of the So Here box.
Oh my goodness, where did you get that saying?
I know, somebody really smart must have thought that up. I mean, it just has so much to offer there.
That's right.
You're supposed to sew for a long time.
A long time, or like goodbye kind of a little bit in a podcast.
Yeah, you're supposed to be happy while you're sewing.
That's right. So the longer you sew, the happier you'll be.
And then also just like, so long. Thanks for listening.
So long. Da-da. Farewell.
Wouldn't you like to wear a t-shirt that you made, that you self-sewed, that said so long and so happy on the front of it?
I could be very happy wearing that t-shirt.
In the signature mint green, I think the hex code.
I don't think that's mint green.
You I do.
It's light teal.
Okay, well, the hex code, whatever it is like 76D2C5, just in case you want to look at that on your computer. And so anyway, if you would like to do that, then you should order the last Sew Here box of 2017, which you can do by going to sewhere.com/box. Our signature keystone product in there is the custom printed fabric panel.
There's another custom product they're going to be real happy with.
There is. And we're not going to talk about it.
If I can keep Mallory's mouth shut, it will be a total surprise.
We might like show it somewhere. Okay.
Oh, gosh. See, she cannot keep a secret. Like, at all.
There's going to be a special pair of scissors.
Yes.
There's going to be a couple of very special tools in the box, and then some fun things for you to use to customize.
Our little custom things that we think up.
And customize your sewing space and customize your life with fabulousness from SewHere.com. So the SewHere boxes are set to ship between December 1st and December 15th. So you pre-order them now by going to SewHere.com/box. and choose Sew Here Box Shipping when you check out to get free shipping both in the U.S. and internationally.
And I am not going to let Mallory add the number of boxes we ship out after we've already closed the orders once this time. She does that all the time. I swear, Sam and I are not going to let you do that.
Okay, well, we're going to ship out 1,000 boxes. No, okay.
No,
but seriously, there's only going to be 250 of them. And I believe at this point, we have already sold 100. So if you're wanting one for a gift for yourself or someone else for the holiday season, or if you just like to get everything that ZD and I make, we will put a lot of care and love,
a special love note
into these boxes. So go to sewhere.com/box and order one today.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, and we're back. So I don't know if people think that they're supposed to look like a coloring book or something when they make garments. You know what I mean? Like the fabric, like they didn't cut the fabric something.
Yeah,
They're a paper doll.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
But you can't always like make all the stripes line up, guys.
You can't always match a plaid in a sleeve that's going into the arm's eye.
Or a raglan. People are always wanting to match the stripes on a raglan. Sometimes it can work, sometimes it doesn't. Or you have to choose.
I do it all the time.
Where the stripes are going to match, because the pattern pieces are at different angles.
It still works.
Because
they're at an angle.
But then people want them to match when, like, you put the sleeve down to your side.
No,
too.
That's not going
to
match.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to
say. That's not
going to
match.
They want it all.
Your
to,
seam's
like,
going to match. Well, first of all, you don't want it to look like that because it only makes you look wider. Okay? You actually want a contrast so that you can see your body silhouette versus your arm silhouette.
And I guess I just want people to know that if you're thinking that you could, like, make all your stripes match up everywhere all the time, that you would just look like a paper doll.
I also see people want to do this on a placket on a shirt or a sleeve on a shirt or a yoke on a shirt. It's not going to work a lot of times because on the yoke and on the sleeve, the cuff, you have pleats in the sleeve. You have pleats on the piece underneath the yoke. So my solution is, if I have a symmetrical plaid, is I cut it on the bias.
You know, I think it's okay to cut asymmetrical plaids on the bias, too. I think it still looks
fun. Well, the other thing you can do with an asymmetrical plaid to make it symmetrical, is cut two pieces, and make it, seam it some sort of, like, chevron look or something.
Let's back up a little bit. I'm afraid maybe we're, like, talking over some people's heads for whom this might be a little confusing. So let's back up to that sleeve cuff. Okay. So you have a sleeve cuff, and let's pretend it's, 10 inches around, just for fun.
Right.
Okay? So then if that has stripes or that has plaids on it, you have 10 inches of that pattern.
That's right.
But your sleeve, most of the time, is going to have a larger circumference, okay? Because you said it has a pleat, right?
And you're going to bend your elbow, and you have to have that room to move.
So that's why it's different, okay?
Right.
You have that pleat so that then the circumference becomes the same and you sew them
together.
But does that make sense, everybody, how that can never match up the whole way around the cuff?
Right, just can't.
It could match up for a little while, but then that pleat happens.
So why'd you do all that trouble in matching up for a little while? So if I cut the top of that, the fabric of the cuff that shows, be the top piece of the cuff on the bias, everybody's going to go, ooh, that's going to stretch. No, because I'm going to have cotton organdy interfacing, and then on the back cuff, I'm going to cut it on the straight of the grain.
There you go.
So I'm not going to wind up with a wonky bias cuff. It's going to appear to be on the bias because it is, but it's not going to act like the bias because I've interfaced and lined on the straight of the grain.
Absolutely. Great, great. So we're wanting it to act like bias in terms of its look, but not in terms of its function. The other thing, some people want to try and make collars.
Yeah, collars aren't going to match. And I don't know why they want them to match. I want to be able to see the collar.
Once again,
I want to see where the fabric changes.
You don't want to look like someone just painted
you. Don't want to look like you wallpapered it onto
yes,
the coloring book.
Wallpaper. There we go.
Yeah. It's like, or just, you know, took this pattern and plopped it in by computer onto it or something.
Okay. When you have your mirror images of like a left side and a right side of the shirt, sure, you want your yellow stripes to match up across there. But you could also treat yourself to a bias button placket.
That's what I do. That's what I just like that look.
I like it too. I think
because
it's nice.
If you really would match it perfectly, you lose the vertical.
Yeah.
You lose the line. It blends in. So I would rather have the bias look, the slant or whatever, right? The angle, and it shows off my placket. It shows off the cut of my garment.
Now, a collar, it will give the appearance oftentimes of being cut on the bias because of the way the collar pattern these kind of flares.
When you cut that collar, the big placement thing about that is going to be that you want the plaids to be symmetrical on each side. When I say each side, I mean, so you want them centered. So you're going to pick a center point and look out from it and go, is this symmetrical on each side? Because I don't want like a big hunk of plaid on one collar point and no plaid on the other, unless I do that on purpose. and you know, I always talk about know the rules before you break them.
No, that's a really, that's a really good point. So when you do, of course, want to cut your collar, like your the top of your collar, the part that's
the collar that you're going to see.
It's going to be on grain, and you are going to want to make sure that that is symmetrical. Now, a tip that you give and that was recommended in a pattern that people asked about, this is like a year ago, I swear, was a lot of patterns will recommend that you cut the under collar on the bias. It rolls so nicely. I believe we talked about this maybe in the bias podcast just a week ago or so. So that's not going to be symmetrical.
Well, here's what I would do.
Okay.
Is if I wanted to make it symmetrical, especially if I'm going to flip my collar up or something like that, and I want a symmetrical look, I will wind up seaming in the back of that so that when I flip it up again, my plaid or my whatever my design is, we're talking plaid because I guess it's the most complex.
It's a good one to talk about.
That it looks the same. In fact, I actually saw one on Jane Fonda. And I was like, oh, that's an expensive blouse because they so thought it out. And she flips her collars a lot.
Are you watching Grace and Frankie?
Yeah.
That's like what they put Jane Fonda in. I mean,
she is in like the same pattern, the same shirt over and over and over again,
wonder,
if you really look. But they all look different.
I know. But I wonder, and this is kind of like rude of me. I'm like, does Jane Fonda not like the way her neck looks? Because they've got her in these like.
Well, it does give you a youthful look if your neck is aging, but it also slims you.
Mm-hmm.
I read a whole article on the costumer for that show, and she even said, Jane's got this one look that looks, she looks so good. And, oh man, I don't know who does her hair, but I want my hair done by whoever does her hair.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah. And then, Lily Tomlin, it's funny because she buys a lot of Lily Tomlin's clothes. Lily Tomlin is very,
she's a hippie.
Yeah.
Artsy.
So, right. So she buys a lot of her stuff apparently at resale shops.
Right.
The junky jewelry, you know, the chunky jewelry, excuse me. She's very bohemian looking.
Yes.
You know, clogs, you know, and then Jane is sort of the antithesis of her, right?
Okay.
She's tailored and, you know, put together sort of.
Since we brought up Grace and Frankie, I just have to give a shout out to podcast listener Susan.
Yes.
I hope she's still listening because she had emailed and said she enjoyed our podcast and sort of asked for a little bit of like advice on, you know,
Like what, dressing, TV show to watch?
No, no. Like dressing like yes. a character from Grace and Frankie.
Oh, okay.
And so
who does she want to dress like?
We talked about this. I think, I don't watch the show. Is Kathy Bates on there, did you say?
She was guest starred? I believe she was on there at one time, yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I gave her some recommendations. I don't want to get into it because it doesn't really go along with the podcast topic right now. But I just want to say thank you, Susan, for listening. And you all can feel free to email us at any time. So pattern matching too.
Right.
Tips for matching that stuff. So now you know that you don't have to match it all the time or that it's impossible to match everything right. all the time.
Or sometimes you're better off. Like I said, you maintain
not matching
the
it.
Line of the design.
Right.
If you match that button placket, you lose the look of the vertical line of the button placket.
So if you do want to cut out on the fold or cut out on two layers,
mm-hmm.
okay, what do you do to keep stripes and stuff lined up?
Well, you'll have to pin them.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have to lay that fabric out. You'll have to go. And so let's see if I can make a picture. Draw a picture in your mind of this. So I choose where I'm folding.
Yes.
And then I will fold that top layer back, uh-huh. right? And then start pinning it. And, you know, then as I fold it towards the selvage again, right? I fold it back yep. from the selvage, you know, towards
the fold.
The like fold, the right, right. Uh-huh. And then, so, you know, you have to pick landmarks. And I say landmarks because a lot of your tribals are not a stripe, but they're a design laid in a stripe pattern.
Man.
So,
yeah.
And, okay. And beware of the tribals, everybody.
Yep.
Because you will think, oh, it's, say you've got design row one, design row two, design row three.
Yeah.
Right? And for some reason, you think that somehow so it's not 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
No, sometimes it's 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 1, right. 2, 3.
So
yeah.
It's directional.
For sure.
It won't look it. Or, it can be such a trick for you.
Yes.
Okay. You really have to look. And so when Mallory said like you can fold end to end, you may not be able to do that
right.
on the tribal.
That's
you
correct.
May have to cut that fabric and lay it, you know, slice it and then lay it on top of itself.
Sometimes, I'll just bring this up because we get off on tangents. With the tribal fabrics, I'm a little uncomfortable.
You sound aggravated.
Yes. I think to myself, as I've grown and learned about how sometimes fashion designers or textile companies have taken advantage of traditional
designs.
Like textile mm-hmm. work mm-hmm. and then not given credit to those communities
right.
or really sort of like sure. taking advantage of them. Sometimes I see myself looking at those and I wonder, like, does this mean something to someone? Does this
that can be scary.
No, I yeah. know. Well, it is. And I mean some of those traditions have very deep, like, religious roots for those cultures. And I'm like, I just don't know. And
you know,
I've seen some people design too who I'm like, you know, did you just see this in a magazine?
Right.
Are we paying the right kind of, like, respect? Or am I, like, never supposed to wear something that I think is pretty because it might be sacred?
Okay, now I have to go, like, throw out all of my pants.
Well,
because Mallory's got me, like, worried that, do you know about my elephant pants?
Yes, I do know about
Can I tell my story
pants?
About my elephant pants?
Well, hold on. I want to give this the respect it deserves.
Okay.
I guess what I'm saying is this is something that I'm still exploring. If you know anything about this, let us know. I haven't been able to find like a lot of definitive, like a library of things. I've shared some articles in the newsletter about these tribal
right.
Traditions. And then saying tribal traditions, like what are we talking about? Are we talking about Native American? Are we talking about the Maasai tribes?
All kinds of tribes.
Really
right.
been taken advantage of by the high fashion industry.
Right.
So anyway, but yeah, go ahead and tell
also,
your elephant.
Also, Mallory sounds a little paranoid, but.
I do.
Right. But, and some of these things I think are just like sort of zing tangles that people have like sat down and doodled.
That's true as well.
Right.
Yes, that is true
but,
as well.
So,
okay, tell your elephant pants story.
I guess if there could be a disclaimer. Well, here's one thing. Other things,
are things that are written on fabric in languages you don't understand. I remember having this like French fabric with that had something French on it. And I said to you, what does this say? Because I was like, you know, I don't want to say like big, huge butt and I make it like and put it on my butt or something.
So
I don't know.
We have this. Right. I think a lot of people have this French fabric and I could understand the
words. It was home deck.
Yeah, I could understand the words and I was like, oh, it says this and this and this. But you know what? Then we showed it to our very good friend, who is a French expert,
right.
Sarah. And she said, not only is it those words, Mallory, she says, but this is a La Fontaine story.
Oh,
and that's
okay,
like,
yeah.
That's like one of the main fairy tale writers in the French tradition. And I was like, oh, so there's like, so you think you know the words, but do you know the context?
Do you know the meaning? Blah, right. Blah, do you blah. Really know the meaning?
Okay tell your elephant
story. So my elephant story. So I bought a pair of ready-to-wear leggings.
Yes.
And I did buy them because I was out of town and I needed a pair
no
of leggings.
No excuses needed, ZD.
I, you know,
unprepared.
But these were really cool. I probably would have bought them anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And they fit really well. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I bought them. I wore them for like a year. I thought that they were like paisley or something. I don't know.
Well, they have like
they're
a watercolor background.
They've got a watercolor background and then they have a print on top of it, you know, and all this. Okay. And they're just, I thought they were like mandala-like or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay. And I'm in class and she's like, okay, and move into a forward fold. And I move into a forward fold and I realize that when my legs are together, and I'm in this forward fold that I'm looking at an elephant head upside down. And I'm like, oh, this is like the coolest thing on earth. They printed this so that when you put your legs together, you had this elephant, like, you know. So all of a sudden it occurs to me, we're hanging there for quite a while. We, you know, shake your head, do this, whatever
right.
she's telling you to do. All of a sudden it occurs to me, what if the elephant's butt is on my butt, and I've been walking around like with an elephant tail coming out of my butt for a year, and I did not realize
Well, the way you're describing it, it sounds like there could be an elephant trunk coming out of your crotch,
well,
too, but
anything,
that's not what they look like.
Anything.
Know?
So immediately when, you know, we got up or whatever, and, you know, she said, take a break, I turned my butt to the mirror, and no, they were symmetrical. So the head was on the back. But here's what I want to let you guys know. As much as I know about fabric, as much as I've worked with fabric, I wore these for over a year, washed them, folded them, put them away, all this.
And ZD washes her
and
clothes.
I did not know it was an elephant head for like a year until I turned myself upside down.
Okay, I have my own pattern story. It's not quite the same, but do you
Mine
remember?
Mine is probably better.
Yes, it is better. But do you remember I bought a pair of shoes one time?
Oh, yeah. This was funny.
We were in Ireland on a school trip. I was very lucky to be able to go on this trip. And so I like bought a pair of shoes and yay, because I love shoes. And I came home and I'm wearing these shoes all over the place. And I just thought that they had like these flat, this like flowery applique on them.
And they
right?
did have a flowery
yes,
applique.
They did.
Yes.
They did. And then I said to my sister, who I was living with at the time, I was living with Lindsay. I think I said something like, I can't find my shoes, you know, those little like ballet flats and, you know, I need to find them. I want to wear them in this outfit. She goes, oh, the love shoes. And I was like, what are you, why do you call them that? You know, it's like, she's like, you're looking for the shoes that say love on them, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I find them. Okay. And they say love on them.
They do.
They have these two like stitched out appliques. And so they're not symmetrical, right?
No, they weren't.
They're not mirror imaged. Okay. So one of like on the right shoe, it's like L-O-V-E from the outside in. And like on the left shoe, this is me looking at it, you know, and then on the left shoe, it's L-O-V-E from the center out. And I'm like, holy crap. Crap, I didn't know for the longest time that these said love. And I didn't like that about the shoe.
She's not liking them because they say love.
I don't really like a lot of, like, things that say, like, you know, cute on them or, you know, whatever. I
pink.
Mean,
or
love,
hottie or,
I love
yeah, whatever.
T-shirts that say so long, so happy on them.
Yes.
But, yeah, so it was pretty embarrassing that I didn't know that they said love on them. And Lindsay is the daughter with the least, who is least likely to wear a pair of shoes that are sparkly with floral appliques.
Yeah, it's love a love. On them.
Okay, you know, Lindsay wears, she shops, you know, in like the men's department right. for pants and shirts and stuff. And
she does not have designs on her shoes.
No, they don't say love on them.
Yet so apparently she is much more observant than
the she can read. So anyway, yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Okay, I think we may have gotten off a little bit on the pattern placement.
I guess it goes to show you, too, if your pattern placement is a little bit off, maybe you won't notice.
Also, you're going to screw up.
Oh, yeah.
Pattern placement.
Yes.
Oh, you even talked about flower boobs.
Well, I was just going to, I was kind of talking about fussy cutting.
Okay.
Right. Because sometimes you're not trying to match, but you may be trying to avoid, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a daisy over one boob and a daisy over the other, which we call the pasty look.
Yes.
Right? Or in pants, I have seen this too. And I, you know, there's been online some of the, leggings where they show the hot dog is coming out of the crotch.
Or Eiffel Tower. I love that.
Yeah, Eiffel Tower.
I'm like, sure, it's a phallic symbol, you know? Like, absolutely, especially on these leggings.
That's right. So, or, you know, whatever you want coming out of your rear end or whatever. So, you know, you may, if you have something that is very graphic like that, and especially large and noticeable, you may want to be doing some fussy cutting. So you may not want to cut on the fold either.
Right.
Because you might not know what the other side is going to look like if you, you know, you may want to cut those out separately.
You know what?
And they call that fussy cutting because it's the placement of the pattern on the pattern.
Right. You know what I did, what I screwed up one time that you pointed out to me that I thought was great.
That was the floral.
Yeah. I made this floral dress. Actually, there's a video of me somewhere in this floral dress stepping through an embroidery hoop. And so it was orange floral. And I don't know that it was like a directional stripe necessarily. But what it did have was, of course.
But it was a repeated pattern.
Yeah, it was a repeated pattern.
It was kind of a wallpaper pattern is what I would call it.
Yes, and I cut out the center panel of this princess seam dress. And I just cut it out on the fold and I didn't think about it. And you were like, hey, there's a point where this pattern sort of dips down, like this
right.
flowers open up or there, you know, and you're like, you should center that when you right. cut that on the fold. And I was like, duh, like I'm an idiot. Like I
now, and some things you're not, I mean, I guess what I'm
talking. And you don't have to, right, but right. it would have made it look nicer.
No, on that particular thing, yeah. I think it would have looked better yes. centered. Mm-hmm. I think this is what we really need to talk about is observing.
Yeah.
So do I want to, am I worried about this pattern? If there are things I want to be asymmetrical.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there are things, you know, if you have a border print, obviously it's down towards the bottom or yeah. whatever. So you need to think about
how you want that to look. Circle skirt, huh?
Yeah, that's right. We can talk about the controversy. It's called the controversial skirt.
Controversial skirt.
If you want to know about that story, you just look up, search for controversial skirt in the
self-sewn
wardrobe and
you'll
that
find it.
Will come up.
Yep.
But so think about the pattern and what you want it to look like. They're also out there nowadays like ombre type. So ombre means that you fade from one color to the other or you fade from a lighter concentration of color
to
a darker or vice versa or whatever. And some of them fade back and forth. And
yeah.
you may have to consider that a stripe in what you're doing.
And I personally, how I like to dress myself, I like to put lighter colors across my bust and darker colors across my waist. So let's pretend I have a big, wide black and white stripe.
Right.
I'm going to try to put that white stripe across my bust and the black across my waist. And then I got white again, like around my hips. And this is because I like to make my waist look small. I really like to do that.
Well, I think the other thing about stripes is people say, I can't wear stripes.
Right.
And I think you can.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody can. And one thing to give yourself courage with stripes is to chevron them. So you can take that fabric and, you know, on the front of your body or whatever, the front of your blouse, you can chevron those stripes. So you're actually cutting it on a 45 degree yep. bias, and give
your true bias
right, and give yourself that look.
Yeah,
and you know get used to those stripes.
I've never looked at somebody and been like, horizontal stripes make them look so much bigger. Like,
no.
There's not a ton you can, there are some things you can do. Of course, if you're trying to like manipulate the eye around your body,
right.
Of course. But I honestly think that's kind of a big myth. And the other thing you can do, you were talking about chevroning them,
mm-hmm.
or if it's like a t-shirt, just cut the front on the bias and have them falling
exactly.
down from your shoulder to
right.
your, you know, hip area.
I've cut both on the bias,
yes.
front and back.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's like a nice look. I really like that
yeah.
look. If you don't want to look, if you think it makes you look blocky or square or something, but if you like the stripes, wear them.
Right.
Don't let
somebody
tell you
can't. Or use the stripes for an accent till you get braver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, do that kind of thing. Or just stripe your sleeves or just stripe your cuffs or
I really
or
don't think that's some place where people should feel super uncomfortable. I honestly don't think people should feel uncomfortable wearing almost anything, but, you know.
You know, let's jump back because some people are making the Oxford shirts or the button-down shirts,
yeah.
what I call them. And we didn't talk about stripes a lot. So on stripes, you might want to match that placket and you might want to match the pocket. But when you get to the cuff, I go the other way.
Yeah.
Okay, so my stripes are perpendicular on my cuff.
Right.
And it's basically the same way on your collar.
Right.
And the same way on your yoke.
Right.
Because if you make them go the same direction, you just get confused and in trouble.
Well, and it does make it easier. I mean, like...
Yes,
you know,
but it honestly
okay,
will...
It'll look better and it's easier.
Right. I mean... And you want the cuff to look like a cuff.
Right, right.
So, yes, you're going to run it the other way.
The other thing, you were talking about using bias. We're totally just all over the place. We did not outline this episode. It's fine. But
like we do all the others,
yeah,
of course, yes.
I've enjoyed seeing the shirts that have the under, in my cuff lining, undercuff, whatever that's called, and the under collar be like a solid.
A solid. Well, and I like cuffs and collars that are solid.
Yeah, I think
yes.
that's a ton of fun.
Well,
don't be afraid to do that.
Or a complimentary
uh-huh.
print. And you and I just had a short discussion about people trying to mix every print that's in a line. You don't have to do that.
You don't have. You can if you
yeah.
want to.
And
be very
if you're afraid of it, maybe you shouldn't do it. Because I've seen some pretty wicked looking things where I'm like, oh man, I can't even stand to look at this garment anymore because my eyes are just going all over the place.
I mean, it can be fun. I'm all
yeah.
one for. I love fun prints, but yeah, it seems to be a kind of a thing now to just like combine every single.
Well, I don't like to wear quilts. You
yeah.
know, I sometimes wonder if that hangs over from like the quilting industry where they make a line of fabrics. Do
yeah.
you know what I mean? Where six or seven go together so the person can go in and, you know, cut them up and make that quilt out of those six. And then somebody thinks, oh, well, you can do a dress like that. Well, you can. It
you
doesn't
can.
Mean it's going to look great.
You can.
I mean, I don't want to look like I'm wearing a bedspread.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's just not what I want. Maybe you do. Go right ahead.
Well, I have expressed that I like certain fabrics that look sort of like wallpapery,
yes.
home decky.
I like home decky. I use a lot of home decking garments.
Sometimes you don't like those as much as I do. But, you know, it just
right.
saying that everybody has different tastes, you know.
I'm very geometric.
Yeah, you're a little bit more architectural,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, there's pattern placement. If we haven't covered something, ask a question.
Or if we've really screwed you up, I'm so sorry.
You can ask a question in the group. You can email us. Maybe we can do a pattern placement number two for all the pattern placement things we missed or didn't talk about. But it just was on our minds due to a lot of
right.
the posts in the
it
group.
It came up.
So. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. You can get a hold of us at Mallory@sewhere.com or on Instagram. We are ZD's Sewing Studio. And Mom has her own Instagram account. She's just ZD Donahue. Okay. But how
it.
About that? You know,
and it's not just sewing. It has my other stuff in it.
I don't have my own Instagram account. I just have the business ones. So
I see.
All right.
They cost so much to maintain.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, everybody. So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.